Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Pitt Mailbag Show here from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We're your reporters, Christopher Carter and Abby Schnabel, here talking all things Pitt, taking your questions as you submitted during this week leading up to this Tuesday episode. As a reminder, this show can always be found on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes out from all of our Pittsburgh sports writers, including our Pitt Mailbag Show on Tuesdays and the Monday, Wednesday, Friday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. Today's episode, as always, is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar, you're going to be experiencing the best bar because they have over 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are local and 80 of those local beers are available on tap. As I said, I'm your host, Chris Carter, but we're joined by Abby Schnabel. She's with us here. She covered Duquesne all throughout their insane run. And then you read her work at the after Pitt's Pro Day, where she wrote a great feature on Matt Gonsalves. But today we're focusing on basketball. Abby, that's your specialty because you've been covering basketball for quite some time.
Oh yeah. College basketball is my bread and butter. I could probably it's like one of those memes. What's one thing you could talk about for 24 hours straight to win $1 million or whatever it is? And college basketball is one of them. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. So while we got Finley chilling in the background here, working with Abby, let's get to some of our questions. This one comes from C.H. Kane, who asks, what does Pitt basketball have to do to get to the next step? Can they ever contend for a national championship? Now, Abby, to some people, that might sound crazy considering where Pitt's been the last 7 years. They've only made the tournament one year out of Jeff Capel's tenure. But it does make sense when asking, hey, obviously this team is no longer in the dumps that it was when, coming out of the Kevin Stallings era and even the 4 or 5 years removed from now. You're at the point where Jeff Capel has, produced a tournament team and a team that many argue should have made the tournament. But what's the next step as far as getting to there? I'll let you start on this one.
Well, I think to start, we're in an age of college basketball where just about anyone can win a national championship. When you look at this year's Final Four, yeah, you've got big name, repeat name in UConn, but Purdue hasn't been to a Final Four in a while. Who would have thought NC State would be there? It's a very chaotic time for college basketball. So I absolutely think they could contend for a national championship at some point. The thing is they need to have more sustained success, back-to-back years in the NCAA tournament, which, it's hard to draw guys to your program when you don't necessarily have a track record like a UConn or even like a Purdue, who has been a national notoriety for years now with Zach Edey on their team. Pitt needs to get to that. Pitt needs to be a constant name in the NCAA tournament. And then I think that leads to better talent coming in, whether that's a freshman, whether that's a transfer. And that means less reliance on one or two guys. A lot of these teams, yeah, they have their big name, but a lot of these teams that make long runs have to rely on every single player. And while Pitt has a fantastic roster of talented guys, having sustained success leads to more names like that and less reliance on, do you know this guy? And on the various connections, you have people reaching out to you being like, hey, I want to come play for you. And I think, that's easier said than done to have continued success. I think, like you mentioned, arguably this team should have been in the NCAA tournament, which is something that would have been nice going forward. But at the same time, I think we saw after, granted, some of these people were committed before the run, but we saw that it definitely helped bring eyes to Pitt when they made the NCAA tournament last year. And so I think in order to take the next step, it starts with the building blocks to make your team one of the best in the ACC year to year.
Right. And that's the whole thing here is you want to show recruits, transfer our targets that, hey, you come to Pitt, you're going to be competing. And even though they didn't make the tournament this year, you're right. You want to make successive tournaments to keep building off of it. I think people can look at Pitt now and say, okay, that is a competitive program. Jeff Capel's got something cooking. you know, as long as like this team doesn't just blow up in the offseason, you know, like, you know, if Bub doesn't go to the NBA and Jalen doesn't transfer and Ish doesn't travel, like it would take, I think, some massive blown. Like if Bub Carrington goes to the NBA, there's still a lot of potential for this team. But if they're able to keep him, I think that's a big, big step forward to being that contender. But here's the thing. You know, you look at Pitt's roster. Again, they took North Carolina to the mat. NC State, who's in the Final Four right now, they swept and swept comfortably. Like NC State, I remember watching that game and thinking, oh, that guy Taylor, he's pretty good. Like, you know, they're, you know, is it a bad sign? And I think, Abby, was that a game that you and I did together? Was that That was the game we did a post game show on it. We were like, huh, is that bad that they let him score all that? And apparently not, because he's been going off all March.
It's one of those things that's funny when everyone talks about NC State's like run right now is Pitt handed them one of their most recent losses, which is crazy to think because that was close to a month ago.
Yep. It was a month ago. In fact, it was their last loss. The Wolfpack have been, you know, it's funny, you know, we heard rumors of Kevin Keats being on the hot seat, you know, if they had lost to Louisville in the first round of the ACC tournament. And then, you know, weeks later, they're in the Final Four. And I think Kevin Keats is feeling pretty good about his seat right now.
Well, just by winning the ACC tournament, he got an automatic 2-year extension. So yeah, he's sitting pretty now.
Absolutely. But to answer C.H. Kane's question, I think both of us are in the same position to say, like, hey, Pitt's got a foundation now. Now it's just about adding the right pieces. I think one thing that has to happen, they have to keep up their backcourt. It has to be as good as last year, if not better. But they also have to add real talent in the front court. And that means getting either a center or another forward who can score like Blake, and, you know, have and building that chemistry moving forward, continue to develop guys like the twins, and, you know, hope that Papa Conte can develop into a star player. And I think you do that, like Abby, your point, if they get a balanced roster that can win in multiple ways. Last year, they needed to win with Blake Hinson scoring or the backcourt. If they can have another like scoring forward, have the backcourt be as dominant and have a big, that's the stuff that makes you dangerous in March.
Agreed. Yeah, you summed it up right there.
We're going to move on to the next question here. And this kind of delves into building that team. Howie Buckets on Twitter, at Howie Buckets, asks, what are the odds that Pitt can keep Bub Carrington, Jalen Lowe, Ishmael Leggett, and add a legit center? Is the NIL budget enough? Now, we don't know the NIL budget. We're not going to pretend like we have the numbers right in front of us. But I do think that Pitt's in a position where, if Bub Carrington decides to return, they're going to have to up his pay because he's an NBA draft. People are talking about him being a lottery pick, all these other things. And Jalen Lowe probably going to need a little bit more money. And Ishmael Leggett might take a little bit more money. I don't think, Abby, that it would be too expensive to add a quote unquote legit center. They're not looking for the next DeJuan Blair for Pitt. No. They're looking for a guy who, if he runs the pick and roll and the other team doesn't follow him, you toss it to him, it's 2 points because he's at the rim. Mm-hmm. And that just didn't happen often enough for guys like Fetty Federico. And if they could get a guy like that, and we'll get to some of those candidates in a sec here with one of our other questions, if they can just get a guy that does that and defends well, that does so much for this team, especially with the way the guards like to play.
Yeah, I think this question really goes down to what do you consider a legit center?
Right.
Because if you're hoping for the next Kyle Filipowski or Zach Edey to come to Pitt, then obviously the money is going to be a huge factor there. But I mean, I think there are some really talented bigs in the portal that I consider legit centers, but someone else might not because they didn't play for a Power Six team. So that I think that's the first question I ask is, what do you qualify as a legit center? And then the second thing is, what is Jeff Capel and this team prioritizing? Do we want to prioritize guard play and keeping those guys, or do we want to prioritize getting a star-studded center? The thing is I don't think this team needs a star-studded center. You need a solid guy, like you said, someone who's down there ready to just go up for 2 points, just confident.
Yeah.
And I think they can do all of that while, like, keeping those guys. Add someone that's going to just be consistent down there and let those guys be your star. Let's be real. This team doesn't need much more star power. If they get another star out of the portal, amazing. But if assuming everyone returns, you know, this team is going to be stacked with people like Bob Carrington, Jalen Lowe, Ishmael Leggett. And I always hate, it's never in the conversation, but Zach Austin in that mix.
Yes, you're right.
Zach Austin. Huge. Yeah. And so I think that's where I'm at is I think it's a better idea to prioritize keeping those guys and getting just a solid center. Like you don't need a big name. You don't need the flashiness. You need someone who's going to go in, put their head down, get to work, and you know, just do their job.
We're on the same page here. If Pitt goes and gets a superstar center, great. But guess what? If Hallie Buckets, if your question is, can they go out and pay for a star center that's going to make this an immediate like top 10 team AP poll? No, I don't think they can do that and keep this team together. But they don't need to. The foundation of this team is through its guard play. And what can boost this guard play, especially for Bub and Jalen, their vision, their court vision is a huge part of their game. If you get a center that they can trust that, hey, if we run the pick and roll or we run a play and you got a really good matchup, I'm going to feed you down low and you're going to get me assists. And if I'm telling you, if Fetty Federico is just more consistent, this also applies to Guillermo Diaz-Graham. If those guys were more consistent in the post or just catching the ball, you know, a few feet from the rim and finishing strong, the assist numbers would have been much higher for both of the freshmen this year. And it's just, that's what they need. If you get that guy, plus you bring in, if you can get like a decent 3-point shooting forward to add to the group, I think that happens there. But I also say this, Guillermo Diaz-Graham shot the three very well this year in the spots that they asked him to. If he improves upon that next year, while also, I think, you know, getting a little bit more strength to his play, he could also be another answer in the front court, as well as, like you said, Zach Austin. Zach Austin shot the three much better at High Point than he did this year. If he also sharpens that, that's two more forward 3-point shooting forwards that you can add to this mix here and really spread the floor and force teams to honor the perimeter from all sides.
Yeah, I think the thing with the Diaz-Graham brothers is that they look like they should be traditional bigs, but a traditional five man, but their strengths truly lay in a four man spot. Yes, they're tall. They can do well down low, but they also can pop a three occasionally and score a jumper. And I think it makes sense that, like, I've seen some discourse about why did they get rid of Fetty and not the twins. And I think the difference is he recruited Fetty to be a five man.
Yeah.
And Fetty wasn't living up to that.
No.
That's not necessarily what he recruited the Diaz-Graham twins for. And I think based on, which leads us to our next question, based on some of these guys they're targeting, it sets up that theory that they want the Diaz-Grahams to be a little bit more of a four man with the ability to go and help down low when needed.
Absolutely. So that's to answer your question, Howie Buckets, we do think it's possible to keep all of these guys. It just won't be a star center. It will be a legit center, as you say. We move to Jake here, who asks, what are the chances of Brandon Johnson and or Brandon Huntley Hatfield, of course, being recruited? And are there any other names as legit targets? Now, I'll do a quick run through here of who these players are. Brandon Johnson is a 6'9 power forward from East Carolina. He's not a star player. He wasn't a highly recruited guy, hence being at East Carolina for 3 years. Actually, he's 6'8, 210 in his most updated thing. But he's a guy, he averaged like 14 points, 8.6 rebounds. You know, he shot the three on occasion. He's more of like a big wing. You know, if you look at it, like, he's another guy that could potentially replace Blake Hinson. He made, he averaged about two three-pointers a game for the Pirates last year. So that's Brandon Johnson, but Brandon Huntley Hatfield is the big name here, because Brandon Huntley Hatfield was the center / forward for Louisville this past season. I know someone's going to say, what? Well, Louisville, what the heck are you getting that guy for? Well, he averaged 12.9 points per game. He averaged 8.4 rebounds per game. He's 6'10", 240, and he's more of a guy that can fit that traditional five spot that we were just talking about. And this guy was once a four-star recruit in the 2021 recruitment class and was recruited to Tennessee. He then transferred to Louisville, where he played his last two seasons. But this is an example where I'm not going to pretend like I know how much NIL money Brandon Huntley Hatfield would attract in the portal, but I can't imagine it would be a bank load. They're not backing up the Brinks truck for this guy. This would be an opportunity for saying, hey, there's your solid center, your legit center, as Howie would say. So, like, I look at those options and I think, man, Like, this could be Huntley Hatfield could be your big that is your traditional five and allows Papa Conte to not have to start as your traditional five, because that's kind of, I think that's what they want Conte to be if he's healthy next year, which we expect him to be healthy. We saw him warming up all throughout the year, you know, doing, you know, before games and everything. And then I think behind that, you want to still want to get try to get a big who can play more like Blake Hinson and Zach Austin, give you the occasional three, give you some solid defense, you know, hustle and give you and use their longer, their bigger body and their longer arms to contend with people. So that's where these guys are. You know, Abby, if you were to prioritize getting the big over getting a Blake Hinson type, and I don't necessarily mean a logo three guy, but you know, someone that brought the kind of energy, that brought the kind of talent that Blake had. What do you think is more important for this upcoming team?
The center. Absolutely the center. Okay. And I think a lot of that has to do with, again, I said it earlier, you don't need to replace a Blake Hinson. Star power and energy, you have that coming in. You cannot expect that out of someone, out of a transfer. Sure, a transfer is going to come in and can have a huge impact. I mean, a good example, just from my Rolodex, AJ Store at Wisconsin. Fantastic example. He's projected to go in the NBA draft, but I could be wrong on that. Made an instant impact. But what the thing about Blake Hinson, and he was the heart and soul of the team. And that's what the biggest thing that you're losing. And you're not going to replace that from out of the portal. And sure, is his performance, absolutely, you need someone to pick up. But I think they have the guys there that can pick up the slack, and then maybe you bring in another guy like a Brandon Johnson to come in and fill that role. But I think getting a center, preferably someone who's experienced, and can teach some of these younger guys. I mean, Papa Conte, I think, is someone that they really want to be in that role, but you can't ask. I guess you can ask Papa Conte to jump in as a starter and see how that goes. But like in a league like the ACC or any Power Six league, really, you need someone who knows what it's like to get banged up down there. Yeah. And Huntley Hatfield didn't have a lot of wins at Louisville, but he did get banged around by some of those big names. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is I think that lends itself way more than getting a guy who can come in as a forward and shoot like a Blake Hinson. Absolutely, if you can get both, do it. But I think the priority here needs to be a center, because you have other star power names already.
Absolutely. And you know, furthering the point we're talking about here, you know, I wrote up my Friday recruitment report on Pitt, was that, you know, of all the targets, there was only like one guy that was a traditional five as far as the forwards that we knew that they had officially targeted or had reached out to. You know, we broke the news at the PG about Adu Thiro, but Adu Thiro is another, like, you know, guy who's more of a wing, you know, forward. He's a guy that could potentially replace a Blake Hinson. The same thing goes for Mikael Brown-Jones of UNC Greensboro or Brandon Johnson, who we mentioned. The only guy that really, you know, outside of Huntley Hatfield that we knew about was DeSean Jackson out of Charlotte. And again, like, you know, he's more of a guy that could fit that role, but he's also a guy that, like, you know, isn't used to ACC play. And how much did we hear about, you know, guys having to adjust to ACC play this year, not just with the two freshmen, but also Ishmael Leggett, who admitted, like, hey, it took me a little bit to figure out how to finish a little bit differently at the rim. And then once he figured it out, it was awesome. But, you know, that rough start was a part of what kept Pitt out of the NCAA tournament. And I think that you're right on there talking about, like, hey, if they can find a big who's used to this, has been banged around, has the experience and can manage that and you know, build the trust with the Pitt's backcourt, having a big down low that can score like that opens up the 3-point line. And like, that's what can allow Bub Carrington, Ishmael Leggett, Jalen Lowe more chances to hit 3-pointers, as well as guys like Guillermo Diaz Graham. So I'm right with you. I think that those guys are legit targets. I think that there's a decent chance that they land one of those two names, Johnson or Huntley Hatfield. And I wouldn't be shocked if they landed two more guys in the portal here, because again, this year's recruitment class, high school wise, is just Brandon Cummings, Nelly Cummings' younger brother, who'll play a combo guard type of position, coming off the bench, and Amdi Ndayi, who's a guy that could fill the five role in maybe a year or two's time, behind guys like Conte and, you know, whatever transfer portal guy they get. So that's that question. Our final question comes from on Twitter, Indues We Trust, @IndusWeTrust, who asks, where does Blake Hinson rank on the best Pitt players list of the last 25 years? So stemming back to 25 years, if you're looking at Pitt basketball, you're stemming all the way back to 1999. That would have been the first year of Ben Hallen, the guy who helped revamp the program, got it back to its first tournament bid in what I think was like a 7-8 year stretch before that. And their first bid tournament was a 2002, excuse me, way back then. So that's a lot of space to cover, Abby, you know, as far as a person. Now, I know
you, we're talking my whole lifetime here.
Yeah, legit. I didn't even think about that, Abby. That's literally when you were born.
1999.
That's crazy. So right there. So your whole life, Abby, is Blake Hinson. Where does he rank there? I'll lead with this. I'll say that, like, look, part of what I think could rank Blake even higher than where we might rank him now depends on how these next few years go. If Bub Carrington and Jalen Lowe and Ishmael, if this next crew of Pitt Panthers ascends and takes that next step like C.H. Kane was asking earlier, I think it puts the Panthers in a really good spot. I think that puts Blake Hinson in a spot where, like, hey, you were the transition. Like, Jamarius Burton, Nelly Cummings, Greg Elliott, Nike Sabande, you all set the foundation for, hey, the buck stops here, no more bad, terrible seasons. But then you were the leader that carried that tradition, that culture over by yourself into the new crew of guys that now has become the next foundation, which everyone else is building off of. And if that happens, to me, Blake Hinson is a top five player in the last 25 years. He might already be that just with his three-point shooting ability and the big moments that he brought to the program. But when you consider guys like DeJuan Blair, LaVance Fields, Brandon Knight, Julius Page, Ashton Gibbs, like there's Sam Young. There's so many players that you could throw in that, and it's tough to rank era-wise. Like, to me, Brandon Knight is still like my top number one of a guy that I've watched, and then DeJuan Blair is a close second. But Abby, if you were to look at just, you know, I know that you didn't grow up with Pitt basketball or anything like that, but if you were to look at just the names over the history, where do you feel Blake Hinson's in the range of?
So yeah, it's a little difficult for me because I'm going off of what I've learned. I didn't grow up watching these guys. I've grown up watching a lot of good basketball, and I know Blake Hinson's a name that, like, you're going to be hard pressed to find a single Pittsburgh native.
Right.
Who that's not going to remember his name. And I think the two things that I was going to say is it's really hard to rank him currently, like you mentioned, because his impact can go so much farther than the 2 years. But if we're looking at just his 2 years, what he has been able to accomplish, honestly, goes toe-to-toe with some of these guys that were here for longer. And I think that's what's really impressive to me is that he's right up there, in my opinion. Granted, didn't grow up a Pitt fan, watching him. But, like, he's right up there with some of those names you said, like LaVance Fields, DeJuan Blair, Julius Page, Sam Young. The list goes on. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think is impressive, is he's been able to become a star in 2 years, make records, and have moments that are probably going to, like, go in. Like, if Pitt had to do a Mount Rushmore of iconic moments, I feel like Blake Hinson standing on the Duke press table is right up there with them. And that's what I think is, like, I didn't actually list out a whole, like, thing, but I think he's easily top 10.
Oh, right, absolutely.
Right now. And I think that number can only inch up further and further based on, like you said, what happens. Was he? I think it's even bigger. You kind of looped him in with the Jamari Spurton and Nelly Cummings and them being the moment that changed. But I really think it's Blake. Yes, mm-hmm. That season doesn't happen without those guys. But the fact that Blake was able to continue the success among turmoil, arguably should have gone to another NCAA tournament. We can argue that all day long, though. And seeing what he's been able to do just another year removed from – he went from playing with guys that are the same age or as older than him to play with that were all old guys, knew what they were doing, to teaching these young guys how to be as good of a basketball player as he was in some times. Literally took the Diaz Graham twins to bulk up, like, over the summer last year. Mm-hmm. So, like, I just think It's way too early to tell to be able to really say where in the lineup he is. But what he's been able to do in 2 years is just like there are players out there that wish they were able to do that in their 4 years with a program.
Absolutely. And again, it's you're pulling the program out for the depth. And if you need to see what Blake Hinson means to the program, I urge you to go back and look at our YouTube coverage, the YouTube video that we put together of the reactions to their ACC tournament win over Wake Forest. As the team went to the spot where like the bracket is and you slap your team's name on the next stage of the tournament, like, you know, advancing in the bracket, you know, Ishmael Leggett had just dropped 30 points a game. But he wasn't, and they were giving him the thing, but he wasn't going to do it until Blake Hinson. And everyone said, where's Blake Hinson? Where's Blake Hinson? And he was finishing up interviews with the ACC network and everything. And when he came in, it was just a whole different energy there. That's what he brought. And again, like you said, and like we're saying here, if Bub Carrington, if Ishmael Leggett, if Jalen Lowe, and even the twins, if this group, Zach Austin, if that group of guys carries that over, brings it into like Brandon Cummings, brings it into whatever other, you know, guys. And then let's get crazy here. Let's say in 2 years' time, Malik Thomas. Some people believe that Pitt has a legit shot at him. I'm not going to say that I know either way that they do. But let's say like all of that leads to a really good year in 2024, 2025. And then after that, 2025, 2026, you get a Thomas. Blake Hinson was maybe the biggest piece of making all of that happen. You could say Jamarius Burton. He was a, you know, first team all ACC the year before Hinson was. And I think Burton, his attitude was a big part of that. And Blake Hinson was allowed to be more of the fun guy in last year because he was around a bunch of old guys. But this year, no one I asked this all summer, like, man, can Blake be the leader? And it was a resounding yes with 5 exclamation points. Absolutely there. Abby, any final thoughts here on Pitt basketball and the conversations we've been having?
I'm just excited to see how this all shapes out, you know, with the portal in flux for the next couple of weeks, coaching hires being announced left and right, obviously not at Pitt, but it makes me think of my morning spent at Duquesne. So I'm just excited to see how all of it unfolds, because I think there's a legitimate chance that this team is right up there once again in NCAA tournament conversation come 11 months from now.
Absolutely. She's Abby Schnabel. I'm Chris Carter. You can find all our work at post-gazette.com, where you find that, including Abby's great article on Drew Joyce III, who she was there for his first press conference as head coach. Step by Step is the name of the article. Find it at post-gazette.com and find all of our work, all of our audio and video work on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Thanks again for tuning into the Pitt Mailbag Show. Thanks again to Mike's Beer Bar for sponsoring us. A reminder, April 25th and April 26th, we will have a live NFL draft show from Mike's Beer Bar, where you'll be able to enjoy some of those 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, 80 of those local beers being available on tap with us as we look at who the Pittsburgh Steelers look to select in the early stages of the NFL draft. From Chris Carter and Abby Schnabel, thanks everyone for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow with more from the North Shore Drive podcast as we resume talking about your Pittsburgh Steelers. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.